Luckily, we have an expert here to talk about estate planning, Corinne Heggie from Wachner Law. Corinne, thanks for hopping on with us again today.
John, I'm so thrilled to be here with you. Always good to see you.
And it's radio, so people can't see, but she's got the coolest jacket on. It is as bright as can be, and it's making me feel like we aren't about to enter winter.
Exactly. Well, that's my goal. You're trying to keep the winter blues at bay with some color.
Yeah. Well, you do a lot of estate planning, and you talk a lot about the conversations that go around with it. I love asking lawyers how they got into the fields that they're in. Why do you like doing what you do?
That's a great question, John. Thanks for asking. You know, being a lawyer, at its essence, is helping people solve problems. I love helping people, and I love helping people solve problems. Not only hard, thorny, complicated problems, but problems that are things that might be weighing on them, but just simply talking to someone outside their family, someone who doesn't have the baggage maybe that they bring to the problem, or has the training, the expertise. It's wonderful to help people.
Yeah. And you mentioned about having kind of being a non-family member because, yeah, when we're talking about estate planning, these are very delicate conversations that have to happen. And to have someone who knows what they're talking about, who is of no relation to that person, it's a blessing. It really is.
You know, it's funny that you say that. People have said that to us and in different ways, right? Not a blessing or I feel so relieved. Or thank you for making this tough conversation much easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for. And we want to make lower the barrier to entry.
Yeah.
So you can have the conversations.
Why are these conversations so tough? I mean, I guess it depends on what we're talking about. Because people have different estates and different things that they are going to be handing off. Businesses get involved too. But what are some sort of the sticking points between people having conversations about what happens after they're gone?
Well, you know, John, you're right to say that there's a lot of different contours around this discussion. I think a big one is mortality. Having a reckoning, whether it's now, tomorrow, or 20 years down the road, with your mortality. What happens when you're not here?
We don't like to think about that, do we?
No, and we're human.
Right.
I don't fault anyone for not wanting to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But sitting where we sit and doing the work that we do, we see what can happen if these conversations that don't have to be long and involved, don't have to involve you opening up all of your finances to family and friends, if you don't have the conversation, conflict, calamity, and a lot of heartache can ensue.
Do you think that people know that they should have the conversation, don't want to, and that it weighs on them? And I guess what I'm getting at is having that conversation can provide you a relief to live better knowing that things are taken care of.
A relief is a common theme that we hear from people who have taken that step to get an estate plan in place or taken a step to get their documents with clean eye, you know, new eyes on them or fresh eyes, revisiting the documents. Relief is a common theme.
And one of the most complicated things, well, I mentioned businesses are very complicated, right? Because that's got to be a conversation that you have between kids, whether they want to take over this business that you've built, right? Do you encounter those situations?
Yeah, you know, families or individuals who are part of family-owned businesses, succession is, we're seeing a lot of it, just with boomers aging and maybe thinking about what their next step is, what their next chapter is. Succession is a big driver of the need to have these discussions.
Okay, this is a really dumb question, but I think I just figured out. Is succession the name for transferring a business to your kids?
It's not the technical name, John, but you know, succession planning doesn't mean you have to. It's a discussion if your children are going to take over the business. It's succession planning is what happens when I'm not going to be here. Who's opening the mail? Who's paying the bills? Who's meeting with the clients? Who's doing the marketing?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be your family.
Right. I'm just connecting the dots now to why the show is called Succession.
Oh, yes.
By the way.
Yeah. That's it. Right. Right.
Do you watch that show, by the way?
You know, I do.
Okay.
I do.
They need you in there. to help perhaps sort some of this out.
Because there's a lot of barbed wire in that situation.
But the difference is they're having those conversations. They seem to have no problem having those conversations.
Right. There are no boundaries there.
Yeah, the Roy family's got it figured out. They got a team of lawyers. They're going to be okay, we think. We'll see how they end up on season 3. That's a quick aside. We got to take a quick commercial break. If someone is hopping out of their car or running away, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you? We'll continue the conversation, but just in case they're leaving us.
You know, you can find us by phone at 847-272-7360, mm-hmm, or online at www.wachnerlaw.com.
W-O-C-H-N-E-R. We're going to talk a little bit more about property as well. That's a real thorny issue for a lot of folks because it also changes over time. We'll get into that and plenty more here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. This is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. I'm John Hansen here on WGN 419, which, as we mentioned, is the sunset. And we're still getting a lot of texts about the sunset and the sunrise times. I've really lit a fuse here under people. Corinne Heggie from Wachner Law. We're talking about estate planning and owning property. You and I were talking during the break. I bet you hear this a lot, and I was about to say it to you. Well, I don't own anything.
Oh, John, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that, I'd be...
You don't a lot.
I don't a lot. I'd have a lot of property, or a lot more property than I have.
Really? Because I think that a lot of people, when they're 18, when they're 36, 37, I forgot, because I rent now. I used to own a property. I'm like, well, I sold my condo. Now I rent. I don't got anything. I must be wrong, right?
Well, you are wrong.
Okay. Tell me why.
I know you're wrong, because you probably have a checking account. Mm-hmm. Probably maybe have a savings account. Mm-hmm. Probably have a 401k or some sort of retirement plan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You might have a car.
I do.
You've got property.
Yeah. You look like you're judging me, Corinne, right now a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. You're as kind as can be. But no, I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, God forbid anything happens. There's so much, because what happens? Like, if someone has those things, they've done absolutely nothing, you know, and the worst of worst things happens. What happens to all that stuff?
Someone's going to have to stick their hand up and say, I'll be in charge here. Mm-hmm. And depending on the value of that property, that person might be able to do the work of collecting your property and getting it where it's supposed to go without having to go to court. Mm-hmm. But if the value of the property requires a judge to be involved, mm-hmm, then that person has to decide, well, am I willing to be the person who goes before a judge and represents this person's estate in court, and then gets the property where it goes. It bottom line, it's uncertainty, and there's not someone there who's on first to get the property, identify it, and get it where it needs to go.
And even if you do have someone on first, it's not necessarily easy for them if there's been no roadmap, right?
Well, right. I mean, if no one... Listen, people have to get an estate plan. You need powers of attorney. You need a will. And if that is so distasteful to you, mm-hmm, and that is a conversation you just simply cannot have and get across the finish line, write down your property, mm-hmm, how you own it. Do you own it yourself? Do you own it jointly? Do you own it with a business partner, with a spouse, with a sibling, with a parent? And how you manage that property. Mm-hmm. Is it online?
Like the nitty gritty, like right, how do I pay my bill? Like that stuff?
Right. How do I pay my bill? Where is it? Savings account. In my own name. Chase. Car. I have title on the car. Car insurance with...
So-and-so, right.
USAA.
Right. And that's where it is. And this is how I get into these accounts and manage these accounts, too.
Well, this is how you can, you know, get a roadmap. Mm-hmm. This is where the instruction, the estate plan can be the instruction manual.
Right.
Where you're naming your team, telling everyone what you want done. Mm-hmm. But if you have a list of your property, how you own it and where it is, that too is a great gift.
Yeah.
Avoiding, because if you don't, people are opening up your mail. People are trying to get into your email inbox if you do Outlook contacts, trying to talk to your HR department, mm-hmm, and figure out, well, what did he or she own? How did he or she own it? Who gets this wealth? Were there beneficiaries named? And people will say, oh, you know, that's not that big of a deal.
Right.
I beg to differ.
Yeah. And, you know, I think part of it is we have become so reliant to logging in, using our face, a fingerprint, a password. Everything is on auto pay now, that I think that maybe we underestimate just how difficult it would be if it's just handed off to someone and said, go, right? Because they don't have the year's worth of, I know this account, I know the website I go to, I know the password, I know how this all works, because we're so self-reliant, right? I think in the day where you had papers and they were in folders, there was almost like a more, okay, you could get the vastness of what this is. Do you think that's part of the problem?
You know, John, I agree with that perspective. I 100%. But it's still, yes, the physical, the paper maybe makes it more routine and reminds you, oh, here's my 401k statement. Oh, here's my, I'm paying my my car insurance. Okay. Oh, here's my bank account. Here's my K-1 from my partnership.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a technological age and we're not going back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I'm not here to, you know, I'm pro technology.
Right.
But I am an evangelist for people knowing what property they own, how they own it, and who's going to help them manage the property when they're living and they can't do it, and then who's that person who's on first when you are not here.
Corinne, I think it was you that wrote, I was reading one of the things you wrote about keeping instruction manuals. Did I read that correctly?
Oh,
that you
yes.
Are that you don't hoard much. You're a minimalist, except for instruction manuals from appliances and everything, right?
Yeah, it's it's wild to me because I am a minimalist. I live with, I'm lucky enough to have three sons and a wonderful husband who I call my law partner. I think I'm the minimalist in the house, but don't mess with me in instruction manuals.
Like the alarm clock, you would keep the instruction manual. I have manual.
The alarm, the manual, the manual for the Sony alarm clock I bought when I went to University of Illinois. I'm not going to say the year.
Right.
For my dorm room.
You have, why? Just in case?
I think I'm a paper person,
yes.
Even though I embrace technology. But I think for me, it's very comforting to know that I can start the process. If something is broken or not working correctly, go first to the manual, even if I am pivoting to Google in a white hot second.
Yes. Yeah. Here's why I wanted to bring that up. If you want an estate attorney, you want Corinne because you want the person that has kept the instruction manuals to everything from when she went to college 8 years ago. Exactly.
Exactly. Eight years ago.
Steve had a question on the phone line. We don't have a time to take it on the air, but I wanted to ask you about people making digital or video wills. I see this in sitcoms a lot. Does that count or is that a nebulous sort of thing? Should they still be talking to an estate planner to get it in writing?
You know, my best advice would be to get it into writing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have something and you have a video, fine, take it. I mean, that might be the way that you get the barrier, you lower the barrier to entry to have the conversation with the lawyer.
Yeah.
So I love that, Steve.
Yeah, good start.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And, you know, for a second there, like, oh, all this stuff, it seems all overwhelming, but these actually can be, if a little bit touchy subjects, they can be fairly easy conversations with lawyers, right, about how to do this.
I believe so. I mean, I know when you work with the Walkner Law Firm, with any of the lawyers at our firm, we meet you where you are,
mm-hmm.
because this is not about, you know, what your income is, what your tax bracket is,
mm-hmm.
how many properties you own.
Mm-hmm.
This is about identifying the property you own and getting a plan in writing so your goals are met and your property is protected and it gets to the people you want it to.
Yeah, for sure. Who should be reaching out to you? People that have never made a plan, people that maybe made a plan 10 years ago but haven't looked at it, all sorts of folks, people that own businesses, people that don't.
Right. I mean, we'd love to help anyone. So if you don't have a plan, we can help you.
Mm-hmm.
If you need fresh eyes on your plan, and even if we don't have the opportunity and the opportunity to serve you, we'll take a look at it and give you our opinion. People who have businesses, even if you don't start the discussion about succession with a lawyer, please have that internal conversation with yourself or your business partners, other stakeholders in your business. What happens?
Mm-hmm.
COVID kind of naturally helped some people, not helped, maybe kicked them in the pants to have the conversation.
Right.
But I don't want that momentum. Listen, it's not that I want COVID to go on forever, but I don't want the momentum.
Right, that we've gained from that.
That we've gained from it to slow.
Right. take that lesson that we've learned about being prepared for something, an eventuality that we don't want, and continue to push that forward. 847-272-7360.
Yes, sir, John.
I'll say it again. 847-272-7360. WochnerLawFirm.com. WochnerLawFirm.com. Who should run the Roy business? Is it Shiv? Is it the Macaulay Culkin's brother? I forget his name. Character right now. Who would you want to run that business?
Oh, John, that's a good question.
Jerry?
You know, I like Jerry. I like Jerry a lot.
Okay.
I like Shiv, too. I guess I'm pro-female.
Yeah, there you go. I think Shiv wants it, too. Well, they all do, of course.
They all do.
All right, well, we'll break down season three another time after it's all done.
I think that's a great idea. I'd love to do that.
Corinne, it's so great when you come in. Thank you for doing so. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, John, and thanks to ISBA for powering Let's Get Legal.
Hey, there we go. Look, she even does the tease for me. Powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, this is Let's Get Legal. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to have the news.